good job. Thank you, Craig and Patty, and what a wonderful, wonderful song, and thank you for singing that. And that was a hard thing, and yet it is and it isn't. It's just amazing how God does everything he does. I was thinking as I was looking over the service this morning, and everything in the service this morning was planned, some of it weeks ago. Everything was planned certainly before Thursday, before Brother Chuck went to heaven. And the insert, these are not, you know, we don't have a random way of picking them out. I pick out the inserts, but I had no idea when I picked this out that we might need these words personally. And so the insert is one thing. The choir song, we've been practicing that several weeks now. And Brother Paul had it on his schedule way before, a heaven medley, all about heaven. I couldn't help singing it, thinking about maybe Chuck might be singing with us. And just with that choir, which, can you imagine that choir, Paul? Then Brother Clark and I, before Sunday school, we were standing out there. Of course, Clark is Chuck's brother-in-law, and Clark and I were talking. We were talking about how when we get to heaven, we're all gonna realize we wish we'd have done more. And so here we sing, "Have I done my best for Jesus?" You can't do anything about it when you're in heaven, but you could sure do something about it now. Amen. Have you done your best for Jesus? What a great song! And then Craig and Patty singing "Some Golden Daybreak." They were on the schedule, I don't know how long ago, a month ago. And I asked Craig, "Did you plan that song before or after Thursday?" And he said, "Before Thursday." And what a beautiful song for them to sing. And it was such a blessing to see Steve's vehicle out there before the way early this morning, going to go out and drive his bus. His dad just went to heaven, and Craig, of course, here, and so many do this, and it's what we do. It's what he did, always faithful. And, of course, the message, I prepared it before I knew that Chuck would be in heaven, and I hope it'll be a comfort and a help to you. I've entitled the message based on verse 8. It says, "Henceforth there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me at that day, and not to me only, but unto all them also that love his appearing." I've entitled the message, "Loving His Appearing." Father, I pray that you'll bless the preaching. Thank you for how you put this service together for us. You did it weeks ago, and because you knew exactly what all we'd be going through, what we'd be thinking, and certainly, Lord, we rejoice and we praise you, and we're not going to complain or anything like that. We know exactly where our brother is, and yet we sure miss him. We've missed him these last few weeks, and yet, Father, I pray that you will give us the comfort and the guidance, speak to our hearts today, and help us all to walk out of here loving your appearing. I pray in Jesus' name, amen. As we were reading through this passage, I wrote in my Bible after verse 7, "I have fought a good fight, I have finished my course, I have kept the faith." I wrote Chuck's name there because that is exactly what his testimony was. You'll hear certainly much about that on Tuesday at the service. But you know, loving his appearing, loving, just looking forward to that golden daybreak. Looking forward, I mean, looking for Jesus. And I realize we've got a lot going on, and everybody's busy, and we have our jobs, we have this and that and family and all kinds of things. But our Bible, if it's taught us anything, it's made it very, very clear that we ought to be looking for him. He could come at any time. Now, there's certainly a lot of speculation about Jesus coming, especially now. There's books been written on it, and people have studied this and studied that, and this month is a key month, and you know, this year is a key year, and of course, we that are older, we've been through that several times, haven't we? And we know that, and of course, the economy the way it is, and the wars, and the rumors of wars, and you know, all of that is part of prophecy. The Bible is very clear, and for me to stand up here and say he's coming today, I can't do that, and I'll show you why. But for me to say he's not coming today, I can't do that either. All I can do is tell you what the Bible says. That is, we need to be ready. Amen. We should be looking. We should be excited about it. We should love his appearing, and in fact, he gives a reward. He gives a crown for those that love his appearing. Those that are just, they're looking, they're excited, they can't wait. He said he was coming again. Book of Acts, the angel said, this same Jesus, the same Jesus, the one that left, says he's coming again, and he's coming to get us, and to love his appearing. Now, here's the thing, it's all part of prophecy. Look at Mark 13, and just one passage. There are many passages we could look at today, but Mark 13, by way of introduction, and then we'll get into the message here in a minute. But Mark 13, the Bible says in verse 32, but of that day and that hour knoweth no man. No, not the angels which are in heaven, neither the Son, but the Father. Now, do you understand? We're not going to predict the day. Amen. Stay with me now, folks. You know, well, but I read a book. Okay, throw it in the trash, all right? If it's predicting any day of Jesus coming, it might as well go in the trash. Okay, remember 79 reasons why Jesus must come in 79. I think it was 79. It might have been 89. It could have been 99. There might be a sequel. If anybody buys the second one after he didn't, you're out of your mind. But you were out of your mind to buy the first one because Jesus said the angels don't even. I mean, if Gabriel could come down today and you could interview him, you would say, Gabe, when is Jesus? He'd say, I don't know. If Michael came down today, and if we brought him in, maybe he was a visitor in Tim's class, and he ate donuts and biscuits and gravy and whatever, and you said, Michael, what day is Jesus coming? What hour? He'd say, I don't know. He's going to be just as surprised as you are. Amen. The Bible says no man knows. All right, so we're not going to try to predict anything. In fact, he goes on, and he gives us good instruction. Take ye heed, watch. And pray, for ye know not when the time is. Now, he did say to watch, didn't he? That means when you get up in the morning, look out and just kind of think, hey, I wonder if he's coming. Today, when we get out of the service, what a beautiful day it is. Amen. When you walk outside and you see the blue sky, look out there. Kind of wonder what that's going to be like when he comes in the clouds. Amen. And when we go up to meet him, what a blessing that is. He said, watch and pray. Verse 34, for the Son of Man is as a man taking a far journey who left his house and gave authority to his servants and to every man his work and commanded the porter to watch. Look at it, to every man his work. Everybody has a job. Everybody has something they're supposed to do and commands the porter to watch. And he says, watch ye therefore, for ye know not when the master of the house cometh at even or at midnight or at the cock crowing or in the morning, lest coming suddenly he find you sleeping. And what I say unto you, I say unto all, watch. What do you think I should do? Watch and work and watch and work. That's what he said. He said to every man his work and watch. Now that's what we're supposed to do. Back to our text. So it's something that we are supposed to watch. We are supposed to work. But here's what should be happening in our hearts. In verse 8 he says, henceforth, there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me at that day, and not to me only. He says, I'm going to get it because I can't wait for him to come back. But he said, but unto all them also that love his appearing. This crown of righteousness, this reward, and we know we cast our crowns at the feet of Jesus because we realize that without him we are nothing. I said, without him we are nothing. And so, very, very clearly, though, we realize that there is a reward, there is a crown, simply for me to love his appearing. You say, preacher, I mean, that just, I mean, come on. We all are excited about. No, we're not. We aren't all excited about it, are we? No, no. But see, it's like Paul said in Titus 2:13, looking for that blessed hope and glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior, Jesus Christ. That blessed hope. And the truth of the matter is, we know there's a lot of people not excited about that. We know that. We recognize there are folks that are worldly that are not excited. Well, you know, I got to make more money, or I got to do this, I got to do that. And there's folks that are backslidden. They're not excited about his coming, right? Now, I'm not saying that's people here, because you're all in church doing right, amen? No sinners here. But again, there are certainly folks that, you know, you're just not right with God, just not interested in spiritual things. You know, you come to church every now and then, and I understand there's always that. And of course, the unsaved, they're not looking for his coming, right? We recognize that. By the way, I don't expect unsaved people to look for his coming. Wouldn't expect that. But the truth is, most are pretty apprehensive about it. And we've talked about this before. A teenager, for example, they're thinking, well, I'd like to go to college. I'd like to get married. I'd like to know what that's like. I'd like to know what it's like to meet somebody and date them and then eventually get married. And of course, young couple, you know, I'd like to know what it's like to have a child and rear that child and to buy a house, perhaps, and all of that. And the fact of the matter is, we've never done it before. I've never been raptured. Has anyone here ever been? Now again, fruitcakes, don't raise your hand. You know, anybody? Yeah, you know, I remember one time. No, let's not. But anyway, we haven't. We've never done it. You know, the shout, the trumpet, gone. Boom, we're just gone. I've never experienced that before. There is a little bit of apprehension to that. Would you agree? Just a little bit. You know, we think about all these things. Well, you know, what's going to happen? We've read in books where our clothes are all folded and left behind, and then we have a white robe. And, you know, I don't know if heaven's all about white robes or not. I know they're in there for a time. But you know, will our rings go? Will our fillings go? Will our false teeth go? Will our glasses go? Will our contacts go? What about my lens for my cataracts? Will that go? You know, and we just wonder about all that stuff. We just are going to go. And it's going to be an exciting time. But we've never done it before. We just know that's next. And Jesus said, watch. But he said, keep working while you watch. We know that's coming. So how am I going to, since I'm kind of apprehensive, I've never done it before. Remember the first time you flew? You know, a little apprehensive, a little nervous about that. You know, maybe a young person, first time you drove. Actually, young people, they think they can do anything. Well, you know, I can drive a car, no big deal. But you know, it's an apprehension, it's a nervous, a little bit, because we've never done it. But here's the thing. He's not talking about apprehension. He's not talking about nervousness. Here's what he's talking about: our heart loving his appearing. And I want to show you how we can love his appearing, how we can have that in our hearts. That we can look forward not only to the rapture, but even if the rapture doesn't take place and it's our time to go to heaven. I think of the times there at hospice that I would read the scripture, and others did the same thing, but I'd read to Brother Chuck and read about heaven. I'd read him John chapter 14, read it a couple times with him. And one time I read it, and he said, oh, it will be wonderful. And you know, that's somebody that's loving his appearing. It will be wonderful. Heaven. But the greatest thing about heaven isn't the streets of gold and the gates of pearl. And it's not even our mansion. It's not even my chocolate lake. Greatest thing about heaven is Jesus. Loving his appearing. How we can love his appearing. First of all, number one is love the person. Love the person. It's his appearing. It's Jesus who's going to appear. It's Jesus who we shall see. It's Jesus, the one who died on the cross to pay for our sins. It's Jesus, the one that we heard, maybe the first verse we ever heard. For God so loved the world, he gave his only begotten Son. It's Jesus that we should love the person. Well, how can I do that? First of all, get to know him. Get to know him. You know, Satan has done his very best to confuse people about salvation. And yet the Bible is, it makes it so simple if we just stick to the Bible. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. He does not say anything about the Baptist church. He doesn't say anything about the Methodist church. Doesn't say anything about the Muslims. Doesn't say anything about the Pentecostals. Doesn't say anything about any kind of... He says, I am the way. To get to know him is to trust him and be saved. That's where it all starts. Love the person. How can I... You got to get to know him. You don't just automatically love somebody. You know, you have to get to know them. And the way you get to know him, first you have to meet him as Savior. Amen. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. You have to come to him. There is no way in this world. People say, oh, yeah, you know, I don't believe in Jesus. I don't believe in God. I don't believe in this. I don't believe what the Bible. I don't believe all that. Oh, but if you knew him. If you knew him. Well, you people think he gives comfort. You know, I know he gives comfort because I know him. But if I didn't know him, I would think the way they think. Amen. Amen. Get to know him. It's more than knowing about him. You need to know him. You need a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. And to know him is to love him. There's no question about that. Love the person. First of all, get to know him. Have you ever trusted Christ as your Savior? Have you ever been saved? You need to know, first of all, you're a sinner. The Bible says, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. You need to know, second of all, because of our sin, we deserve punishment in a place called hell. The wages of sin is death. But you need to know, third, that he paid for your sins. The gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ, our Lord. And you need to know that whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Shall be saved. Get to know him. Get to know him. Love the person. Again, I'm talking to somebody who you start to tremble a little bit when I talk about the coming of Christ. I was there as a teenager. That was me. Somebody preached about the coming of Christ, and I said, you know, I'm not going to go when he comes. I'm going to be left behind to die and go to hell. And I trembled when they talked about that. I trembled. You know what, Brother Dan, I don't tremble anymore. You know why? Because I know him. Now, oh, he's a welcome sight. But if you're here today and you're trembling and thinking, you know, I'm not really ready for him to come. I'm not saved. Please get saved. Please come to Christ. In a moment, we'll give an invitation. You'll have an opportunity to come here to the front. Somebody that cares about you will take a Bible, and they'll show you verse by verse, the verses I just talked about. They'll show you how you can be saved today. Oh, yeah, love the person. Get to know him. Second, though, you know, love the person. Read his letter. Read his letter. I often am reminded of my wife and I and our relationship. We lived 45 miles apart. We met. Her family was camping. And my mom bought a camper, just happened to buy one. Boy, that was lucky. Not fooey on luck. But she bought a camper, and we went up there, and yet, you know, we were in one campsite, she was in another, and we met. Amen. It's a miracle. It's an amazing thing. But just meeting, that's not, you know, you say, oh, love at first sight. Yeah, well, that all sounds good, but that's not how it really is. You know what it was back in those days? I know you're not going to believe this. We didn't have cell phones. Back we barely had phones. No, we had phones, but it was long distance. Remember long distance calls? And it cost money. And so here's how we fell in love with each other. We had to write letters. And as I've testified many, many times, we need to find those letters before we die. And every time I say it, I think, you know, we better look for... Anyway, but, well, because some of hers were pretty bad. Mine, of course, were very, well, anyway, but we have, do you understand, we have boxes of real paper with ink letters. I know it's hard to imagine. And it was reading her letters. And I fell in love with her. Well, I didn't fall. But it was reading, it was the letters. Look, listen to me. You say, preacher, I don't feel the same you do about Jesus. I'm not as excited as... When's the last time you read his letter? Come on. Every day. You know, I remember, and I was giving Brent a hard time the other day about Charlie perfume. I said, why don't you ever wear Charlie perfume? She said she still does some. She used to spray those letters with Charlie perfume. And I could smell the postman coming. I'm serious, man. I'd open that door and I'd, oh, hallelujah, hallelujah. You know, I was so excited because I was getting a letter. Sometimes I'd read those letters over and over again. I'd just read them over. Why? You say, preacher, you talk about Jesus coming. I'm not as excited as you are about it. Read his letter. Open this book up every day and just read a little portion out of it. It's his love letter to you. He loves you. He wants you to know it. And he wants to keep telling you how he loves you. Just keep reading it every day. I promise you this. You'll love the person you read his letter. Talk to him. I can't imagine our relationship ever going anywhere if we didn't talk to each other. Amen. You'll find that, and in counseling as a pastor, so much of my counseling, you'll find one of the biggest problems in marriages is communication. We just don't talk to each other. Well, how is your relationship going to blossom if you don't talk to each other? How will your relationship with Jesus become anything if you don't ever talk to him? It just doesn't make sense. You see, the Bible is him talking to you. Prayer is you talking to him. Love the person. Talk to him in prayer. Tell him everything. You can tell him everything. He never will tell anybody else. Are you listening? It amazes me how we, and I always do the old phone thing, but we'll talk or text or write or email or something, all kinds of junk about ourselves. We'll put on Facebook, I hate so-and-so. We'll do all that kind of stuff and talk about this, that, and the other thing, and pretty soon it's everywhere. But we won't get on our knees before our God and tell him. We sang in Sunday school, tell it to Jesus, tell it to Jesus, tell it to Jesus alone. You can talk to him. You say, yeah, but I don't hear him. Then you get out his letter and see what he says. Amen. Love the person. How about this? Learn of him. Learn of him. You know, that's where you come to church and you listen to preaching. You go to Sunday school and you hear teaching and you learn all about him. Learn of him. We do not love without effort. Do you understand that? I mean, real love is self-sacrifice. So for God so loved the world, he gave his only begotten Son. And you must have a personal relationship to love him. And that takes time and effort. Learn of him. He said, take my yoke upon you, learn of me. What's he saying? He's saying, yoke up with me, work with me, and you will learn of me. The best fellowship in all the world is working fellowship. And that's, you know, in church, we're typically working. Amen. You know, there's bus routes and the bus workers, they're close to each other. There's a group of deacons here. Our hearts are broken today because we've worked with Brother Chuck Pearson and we've watched him, and he was a pillar. And a strength and the bond that we have. Why? Not because we sat and talked about ball games. It was because we worked together. And I'm just telling you, you know, Jesus, he wants you to learn of him. And the way you learn of him is to do the work that he did. How can I know how Jesus loves? Then here's how. Get on one of our bus routes and just go knock on doors and go find little children out in the streets. Go find little children at the playground. Go find little children at the park. Go find little children. Some of them don't have any parents. Go find little children. Maybe it's divorce in the family. Go find little children. Some of them, you know, their parents are on drugs. And not all, certainly not all, but there are some in some very tough situations. And all of a sudden you look at people and you say, you know what? I see why Jesus said, to let those little children come. because they need him. And we learn of him. Love the person. Love Jesus. If you're going to love his appearing, you are going to have to love the person. You really are. And that's why some struggle today, right now. We just read the verse. It's like, well, you know, I'm having a hard time with that. Okay, I'm not telling you to be ashamed because you're having a hard time. I'm telling you, do you love the person? And if you're struggling with that, then these are good ways to love the person. And by the way, love his appearing because it's him. I guarantee there's a bunch of folks saying, things are really getting bad. Things are really getting bad. And I'm getting worried about the Muslims. You know, I enjoy my head being attached to my neck. And I'm a little nervous about this, all these things that are going on. And I've been listening to this and listening to that. And, you know, I'm a little concerned about all these things. And boy, I'm ready for him to come and get me. Well, I don't think that's the crown of righteousness the Bible's talking about. Because what you love there is you love the escape from trouble. He wants you to love him. He wants you to love his appearing. Amen. As I said, Brenda and I lived 45 miles apart, and I loved her appearing. As we got to know each other, as we wrote more letters, as we talked long distance, as we every now and then were able to have a date and see each other, every time I saw her, I loved her appearing. How much did you love her appearing? Well, I'm glad you asked. I had to decide, is it my buddies or Bryn? I looked at my buddies, and then I looked at her. That was pretty easy, right? Is it basketball or Bryn? You know, I love to play basketball. I like to do all those things. And I looked at the basketball, and then I looked at her, and I said, that's easy. Throw the ball out. Amen. I had to decide, is it other babes or Bryn? I got to follow the outline here. Yeah. And I looked at all the other possibilities. They were all lined up. All right. Both of them. No. But and then I looked at her and I said, that's easy. No problem. Is it, I loved motocross. Is it bikes or Bryn? Hey, let's go down and ride on the trails but Bryn's coming. That was easy. Are you with me? Is it the Bears? Or Bryn? It was close. Actually, they've always stunk. So that wasn't that hard. You know, how important is he now to you? I want you to, you decide how much you love him. Because honestly, what is more important than him to you? Because that's going to determine whether you love his appearing or not. Amen. Love the person. Number two, love the place. He said, I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also. John 14, verses 2 and 3. And he's coming in clouds, but he's going to take us to a place. Amen? It's a place we're going to go to. Now, I know the person is the most important thing. And I'll be honest with you, wherever my wife is, I'm pretty happy there. Doesn't matter where we are. We've been in all kinds of places. And as long as she's there with me, I like that. We do okay there. But love the place. You know, when we, first time we went to Hawaii, we got all these travel magazines and different articles and different things so we could see what it's all about. Why? We were trying to understand the place a little bit so we could be excited about the place. Same thing about when we went to Australia to a missions conference there and preached there. And we didn't know anything about all we knew about, seriously, we knew Australia, we knew kangaroos and koalas. That's all we knew about Australia. We knew nothing else. You know, and good day, mate. But I mean, we had to study. We had to look it up. We had to learn a little bit about the place. We went to Barbados last year. We didn't know anything about it other than it was going to be real hot, and we liked that idea. And the Smiths, you know, we had to ask them questions. We had to look things up, and we had to figure out what all we're going to do. And we fell in love with the place. We had to become familiar with the place, and eventually we'd be excited about the place. And again, Jesus said, I go to prepare a place, watch this, for you. That's how I know we're not on clouds playing harps. Because I don't care about playing a harp. You say, you think you'll play football? I think I might be able to. I don't know. But I don't have any. I just know he went to prepare a place for me and for you and for you and for you and for you. Isn't that awesome? My place for me. Wow, and this is the one. The Bible says that every good gift and every perfect gift comes from above. So my place is going to be amazing. You guys, you know, we have a couple of guys that have their man caves, you know. And boy, it's their place. You know, I remember when I saw Mike Poor's man cave. And it had a little pink stove and well, he has daughters, so you have to understand. Sometimes a man cave gets taken over. But you know what? In heaven, I want you to think about this. A place for me. My likes. That's why I believe with all my heart I'm going to have a lake of chocolate. Amen. With a flowing stream of chocolate constant all the time. And not sugar-free. Hallelujah. He said, I go to prepare a place for you. And watch this now. Please stay with me. I'm just about done. 1 Corinthians 2:9 says this. I have not seen, nor ear heard, neither have entered into the heart of man the things which God hath prepared for them that love him. I was reading over this scripture, and I got to thinking about Brother Chuck. And I got to thinking about it. He just was so thankful of everything. He was praising the Lord forever. Here's a man that found out he had a tumor on his brain and he didn't have very long. And he's just praising God for everything. Every morning, it's a wonderful day. It's a beautiful morning. It's, boy, isn't this one? Oh, you're the best nurse in the world. Oh, you're such a wonderful person. I mean, he's praising the Lord about everything. And talking about heaven and said, oh, it's going to be so wonderful. And yet, the Bible says he couldn't even imagine everything. But he's seen it now. Just starting to see it. Amen. Just starting to see it. Folks, we need to believe what God says. He said, I've got a place for you. I've prepared this place for you. You can't even imagine everything that's going to be there for you. And so we read it in the Bible, we believe what God says, and then we just imagine. And I'll tell you what, it makes me really look forward to his appearing. Amen. We know there's no sickness. We know there's no cancer. We know there's no hospitals. We know there's no need for medication. We know that. Praise the Lord. There's not going to be no need for policemen, soldiers, none of that. Guards in heaven. Love the place. Number one, love the person. Number two, love the place. Number three, love the people. Love the people. Look at 1 John 5, verse 1. 1 John 5 and verse 1. Again, we're talking about loving his appearing. 1 John 5, 1 says, whosoever believeth that Jesus is the Christ is born of God. And everyone that loveth him that begat, loveth him also that is begotten of him. Love the people, his children. You say, I don't like old so-and-so. Well, you better love them. Amen. They're his people. You're saved. You know, if you're born again, you and I, we're brothers and sisters in Christ. And my Bible says I'm supposed to love you. Yeah, but I don't like the way, it doesn't say you have to like them. You have to love them. Amen. That's other Christians. To love his appearing is to love the people, his children, his people. Oh, you said, can't wait to see mom. Can't wait to see dad. Can't wait to see grandpa and grandma. And I can't wait. Oh, yeah, but there's others there too. He is no respecter of persons. Neither should we be. Red and yellow, black and white. They are precious in his sight. You're going to be amazed who your neighbors are going to be in heaven. Amen. You're not going to care. Love his people. There's all kinds of saved people. By the way, that's one of the reasons why Berean Baptist Church is a great place to learn to love all kinds of people. Because we have all kinds of people here. We just have an amazing mix, all kinds of folks. Amen? Isn't that wonderful? And we can kind of get used to it. I think some folks are going to get to heaven, they're going to go, ah! You know, they're just not going to be sure how to handle that. But to love his appearing is to love his people. All kinds of people, you know. And Berean Baptist Church, we have folks in Adrian from all walks of life, you know. And then we're trying to reach the world with our missions program and trying to reach the USA and our state and all those things. We're learning to love all kinds of people. I would encourage you to learn to love everybody. Again, that doesn't mean you like the things they like. Doesn't mean you like the foods they like, the colors they like, the entertainment they like, whatever. But you need to love people like Jesus did. Love the person, love the place, love the people. And then the last thing, number four, is to love the prospect. Titus 2:13 says it's a blessed hope. That's a happy hope. Amen. It's a hope of blessing. It's a hope of joy. It's a hope of happiness. It's when he comes, there will be no more sin. There will be no more heartache. There will be no more disease. There will be no cancer, no strokes, no heart attacks, no funerals, no burdens, no stress, no tears, no hate, no lying, no cheating, no stealing, no strife, no pain, no arthritis. Have I hit the thing that bugs you the most? Because we can just keep going, and it won't be there. Amen. Oh, glory to God. Love the prospect. But to love the prospect, you have to believe the word. And that's the word of God. That's why, you know, seriously, I preached just recently. I preached a message on why our funerals are different. And it's because of hope. It's the hope of God. It's the hope that we have. It is the prospect that I'm going to go with Jesus Christ to a place he's prepared for me to be with his people, those that I love, and I'm going to spend eternity. Wow. And it's just believing his word. Look at Hebrews 11, verse 13. Hebrews 11 is all about faith. And the Bible says about people, these all died in faith, not having received the promises, but having seen them afar off, and were persuaded of them, and embraced them, and confessed that they were strangers and pilgrims on the earth. This world is not my home. I'm just a passing through. Amen. For they that say such things declare plainly that they seek a country. And truly, if they had been mindful of that country from whence they came out, they might have had opportunity to have returned. But now they desire a better country. That is, an heavenly. It's a better country. It's a better place. The prospect is only good for the Christian. It's just going to get better and better and better. Good example, Peter, James, and John, they were called by Jesus to join him at the Transfiguration, and they saw him as he really is, as God. But they also saw Elijah and Moses. And it's an interesting thing because they just got a glimpse of heaven's glory. And when they saw Elijah and Moses and they saw Jesus in the Transfiguration, they said, let's just stay here. Can we just stay here? I like that. This is good. You know what? I believe that. I believe that. And so today I testify, I'm looking forward to it. I'm looking forward to his appearing. I know the rapture is kind of spooky. It really is a little spooky. We're just going to go. And flying has never been my favorite thing to do. you know? So I don't know how all that's going to work. And riding down on a horse, coming back in the second coming to whoop the Antichrist, that seems a little unique too, because I've never really enjoyed riding horses, especially through the sky. But anyway, I don't know how that works. But though it's something that is unknown to me, I think I can handle it. On October 16th, 1976, 4 o'clock in the morning, a young man woke up absolutely terrified. That was me. And my hands, I still remember, were sweaty. And I thought, why are you sweating? Every other part of me always sweat, but why are the palms all sweaty? And I was terrified. 4 o'clock in the morning, I drove to my father's house. And I said, and I knocked on the door, and he said, what in the world are you doing? You're getting married today. And I said, Dad, I'm terrified. I just don't know why. I am scared to death. Dad said, son, let's go get a bite to eat. Dad was always good for getting a bite to eat, no matter what time of day. And we went to the truck stop, because what's open at 4 o'clock in the morning? And we got a bite to eat, and we sat there and talked a little while. Later on, I drove to Bluffton, Indiana, 45 minutes away, where we would be married at Grace Baptist Church. And again, my hands were all sweaty, and I was terrified. And my heart was beating rapidly the whole trip, and I was terrified. But when she stood there at the end of the aisle, and I saw her, everything was okay. Why? Because I loved her appearing. I'm going to tell you, you fall in love with Jesus, and you will be one to receive the crown of righteousness, because you'll be looking for him every day. You'll be longing for him. You'll be excited about him. Love the person. Love the place. Love his people. Love the prospect. He's coming. Are you ready? Let's bow our heads, please. Heads are bowed. Eyes are closed.